Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have a very special treat. The governor from South Dakota, Kristi Noem, the governor that stood up against the leftist mob, one, flattened her curve and get the curve down by 75% and still stood for freedom and liberty and never issued a stay-at-home order. We have so much to learn from Governor Noem, and ask yourself the question throughout this interview, what comes next after governor? And we are also so pleased to announce this is our one-year anniversary episode. We have millions and millions of downloads and people that have trafficked this. Thank you. And in honor of our one-year episode, we've been doing this for 1 year. Make sure you are subscribed and get another person to subscribe. That would be a gift to our show. 1 year's. Thank you guys for loyally listening. Those of you that are day one listeners, make sure you subscribe. Give it those 5-star reviews. Thanks so much, guys, for listening. I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. We are so thankful and lucky here today to have the great governor of South Dakota, someone who I am blessed to call a friend and who is just a total patriot for our country. She has kind of risen to national notoriety in the last couple days because she was, I believe, the only governor in America that did not issue a stay-at-home order, at least one of the few governors in America that did not issue a stay-at-home order. And she stood up to the leftist media mob and displayed amazing courage and conviction and actually believed in this word liberty and freedom that we talk about at the Charlie Kirk Show. So, Governor, thanks so much for joining the show. And how are you hanging in there? And how are things in the state of South Dakota today?
Yeah, we're doing really well. Thank you, Charlie, for having me on your show. I appreciate it. We're doing good. We've got positive cases in the state, but the vast majority of our state has less than a handful per county. And we've got one spot that we're addressing aggressively in our biggest city. But, you know, all in all, the people of South Dakota have really stepped up. I asked them to take on personal responsibility, to make some decisions for them and their families and their community, and they did it. So I'm super proud of what they've been able to accomplish.
Well, and I have so much respect for your decision because it was against what the media was demanding of you, and you made the informed choice to trust your citizens, to focus on certain hot spots like the meat packing plant. What has been the general response from the people of South Dakota? Because I visited South Dakota a couple months ago. They are a people that love freedom, love liberty, and generally don't want the government to tell them how to live their life. What has been the response from the people in South Dakota as you have decided to trust them with many of these choices?
You know, I think they really stepped up. They recognized that they had a role in this. You know, it's hard in this kind of situation, Charlie. We've never been here before. We haven't had a pandemic that anybody in South Dakota here has experienced in recent history. So, you know, that was a challenge. They asked a lot of questions, but I also think they really appreciated the fact that I wasn't going to dictate to them. And that I was going to give them a chance to get through this, being innovative, letting them figure out and problem solve how to keep their businesses going, how to still put food on the table and be reliant upon themselves. So, overwhelmingly, the feedback has been great. You know, there'll always be people that'll disagree with you. So I'll acknowledge that when you're one of the few that makes a decision like this, you're going to stand out and draw the critics. But I think walking around, talking to people when I get the chance to visit with them on the phone, doing things, overwhelmingly, they appreciate that they think our state's going to get through this better than many other states.
Well, and, you know, I've been very outspoken against a lot of these shutdown measures, a lot of these lockdown measures, and I felt that a lot of them were a far overreaction and not based in data. And Governor, I would make the argument that if the outbreak was centered in South Dakota and not in New York City would not shut down. And so why should the other parts of the country that, yes, they do have cases It is an issue that should be taken seriously. However, this is the first time in the history of the world that we have quarantined healthy people. And I know that we don't know who's healthy and who is not because of the complexities of the virus. I heard you say something on Fox News with Sean Hannity where you said, we don't have the traditional plan. We have a back to normal plan. Can you talk about that and what is kind of contained in that?
Yeah, we don't have an open up, reopen the economy plan because we never shut down. But we do have a back to normal plan where I'm just giving people guidelines and advice in different parts of the state on what they can do. And I think that makes sense for everybody here. I kind of use this as an opportunity, Charlie, to remind people about this country and kind of the beliefs that we were founded on. And to remind them, too, that when they see leaders taking too much power in a time of crisis, that should be alarming to them. And so my press conferences I did every day, we talked about the oath that I took to our state constitution, the oath that I took to uphold our U.S. Constitution, what that means. And because of those documents, and that's why this country is special. And at a time of crisis is when it's even more important that you have a leader that stays within those founding principles that we have. And so, you know, my press conferences were maybe a little different than conversations other governors were having, because it wasn't just about how many cases we had that day, what advice and guidelines I could give them. It was also about, listen, this is what our country is about, and how we respond is a testimony to what kind of people we are.
Well, and this is so refreshing, and, you know, I don't expect you to comment on this, but I think most of these other governors, and some in both parties, are total cowards, and they just did exactly what the media told them to do, and you held the line. You said, no, I took the oath on the United States Constitution. If we have to get eventually to the stay-at-home order, fine, but we're not going to just jump into it if the data does not warrant it. And I've called out a lot of these people. I've called out members of Congress, and I've called out a lot of these trigger-happy governors, mostly on the left and mostly Democrats, but some on the right, that quite honestly disappointed me deeply, that just they sacrificed the freedom and the liberty and the livelihood of their citizens because they didn't want a bad article written about them in the Washington Post, or they felt, you know, uneasy just because there was a cable news spot set about them. I'm so struck because every time I communicate with you, it's just about, I want to deliver the best results for the people of our state. And you have shown that you're the exception to the rule. And the rule is that most politicians will just capitulate to the mob and they will not stand for truth or for the foundational ideas of our country, which is liberty first, freedom first. And if you have to retreat to a form of safety, so be it. But if and only if the data warrants it, and it's the last case measure, absolutely. With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home has never been more important. It's why I want to talk to you about Simply Safe Home Security. They're longtime friends of our show, and for good reason. Simply Safe has made it easy to finally get comprehensive protection for your home. There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. You just order online. There's a lot of bad guys out there right now. Burglaries in New York City are up 75%. What are you doing to protect your home? Well, Simply Safe is the answer. You can set it up in under an hour, and your home is protected 24/7 with emergency dispatch for break-ins, fire, and more, all for just 50 cents a day. And we're not the only fans of Simply Safe. U.S. News and World Reports named Simply Safe best overall home security of 2020. So head to simplysafe.com/Charlie, that's simplysafe.com/CHARLIE, and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie to make sure they know our show sent you. From Simply Safe and all of us here, wishing you safety and good health. Prevent yourself against criminals. It's simplysafe.com/Charlie. I do want to ask about, how have your interactions been with the White House? I know the White House issued these CDC guidelines. I know a lot of the media has been trying to paint this, oh, Governor Noem is not in the best graces of the White House. I don't find that to be true. I talk to the White House. They think very highly of you and your leadership. Can you just talk a little about how your conversations and your dialogue with the administration has been?
Well, I actually just got off the phone with the president. We were just talking about how South Dakota is doing, and he had nothing but positive words to say.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So yeah. The vice president's been absolutely fantastic running the task force. They've helped us get supplies when we needed it. They've helped us secure different information. We've talked a lot about some of these bills Congress has been voting on and how to make them accountable to taxpayers. That's part of my issue with all these dollars going out is Let's not be bailing out pension funds. Let's be making sure that these dollars are going to be accountable to really addressing what Congress thought it would be. I think my experience in Congress for 8 years gives me a little bit of insight into how you can build this legislation to really make sure that it's conservative and we're not enabling bad behavior at different states. And Charlie, I want to say something about, you talked about the other governors, just the perspective that I have, because I was a farmer and a rancher. Then I went to Congress for 8 years and now I'm a governor. Being governor is extremely different than being a member of Congress. And kind of a little bit of perspective into what these governors face is that it's a little bit of a lonely job. You know, you surround yourself with advisors. Everybody has an opinion. They tell you what they think, but then you are the only one who gets to make the decision. And so I think that's what I saw a lot of my colleagues struggling with, was that to go out on a limb and do something is hard, but it's harder when you're the only one at the end of the day who's going to take responsibility for it. And no matter what, in this situation, they're all very concerned because lives are at stake. So mm-hmm. I think that is the challenge that a lot of these governors have faced, is that there's lives at stake, and then I'm the only one who's making this decision. In Congress, you vote on something, but you always have other colleagues that know how you feel.
Yeah.
As governor, you're literally the only one and the buck stops with you. And for me, instead, I put my faith in the people here in South Dakota. And I told them, I said, I trust you. I trust you to do the right thing and stay home and to wash your hands, and that you make that decision and you social distance. And we cut our curve by 75%. They did it. They did the right thing. They trusted the advice I gave them too, and it really worked for our state.
Well, and you know, I you don't have to comment on this either. But the other governors, they did care. They do care about their citizens, of course. But liberty always comes at a price. Freedom always comes at a price. We would not be honest with ourselves if we didn't talk about all the freedoms and liberties that we advocate as conservatives every single day. Second Amendment, the First Amendment. We know that there are unfortunately going to be externalities when you have freedom and liberty. We have seen in other states these lockdown measures, an increase in alcoholism, an increase in drug usage, an increase in suicide, an increase in social isolation. And I believe that because of what your state has done, and I have friends in South Dakota that I've been communicating with, we have donors at Turning Point USA, and they think you are a total rock star hero. You're the only governor I've heard actually get positive remarks in this entire thing.
Yeah,
you know, these other governors, I mean, look, Cuomo and Newsom, I guess some people think they're doing a nice job, but they're sadly misinformed. But the reason they're so appreciative of what you're doing is you treat your citizens like human beings that are adults, not as if, you know, we know everything that's best for you. And I say this somewhat jokingly, you know, when the government says that you do have the freedom to leave your house, that doesn't mean you have to leave your house. The amazing thing about freedom is that just because you have the ability and the liberty to do it, if you don't feel comfortable, you can still self-quarantine. You could say to your neighbors, hey, do you mind getting groceries for me? Because I might be at risk. And guess what? I bet South Dakotans did that for so many people across the state.
Yeah.
And so could you comment on that and how you saw people stepping up and helping voluntarily through that kind of liberty construct?
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch people partner with each other. They've done incredible things to go out and deliver groceries for elderly folks, for folks who had compromised immune systems, raising funds to help those who have a difficult time paying their bills. It's just been great to see that kind of assistance, and then encouraging people who have been through hard times, driving by and giving them signs of encouragement. That's just been fantastic to see. I did get kind of ridiculed by the media for telling people in my press conferences, if you're scared, if you're fearful, you can stay home. You have every right and responsibility to stay in your house, and we will
it's
make
a badge of honor.
We will make sure that we get you food and that you're doing fine. But if you are scared, you have every opportunity to stay home and you don't have to leave your house. So, you know, having that plain conversation, I think the people appreciated. At times the media used it to say I was naive, but then the people stepped up and proved me right. They did it, and it made all the difference in the world.
Well, and that's a badge of honor. And I say frequently, we do not have a media in our country. We have a group of activists that call themselves journalists with big Twitter followers that control big platforms of influence. True journalists would have treated every state and every locality independently and objectively. And it totally backfired on them because they had look, the media always looks at things in terms of hero and villain, and they've tried to make Donald Trump the villain. Mm-hmm. Then they scanned across the prairie and they said, oh, we can try to make this governor from South Dakota the villain. Well, it backfired miraculously on them because I could tell you, you have now become the only person who will be able to have said during the greatest power grab in the last 100 years, if not in American history, where Christians couldn't go to church on Easter, where we had to shut down our businesses, where every school is basically shut down. Every governor who, you know, said these words, freedom, liberty, I trust my citizens, there was only one that actually did it. And the media said, well, no. We're going to try to make her into the one that was, you know, trying to be against the grain and contrarian. And yet you flattened your curve by 75%. I have seen nothing but great approvals. I read an article that they threw a parade for you in South Dakota. I don't know if that's true or not, but
they did. It was a couple hundred cars and tractors and trailers.
It was
Yeah, it was even horses. So it was kind of amazing to, yeah, that was pretty overwhelming to see that.
Yeah. And so I guess here's the broader picture is we have this back to normal plan and you start to see other states that are resisting going back to normal. For someone that has withstood that kind of, you know, media backlash and now quite honestly starting to see good trends, and I would make the argument you guys have actually prevented a potential second surge because I think you probably built herd immunity better. So what is your advice generally for a lot of our listeners that are not from South Dakota? You know, what can you share? What can you say to a lot of our younger listeners as well, as you've now been processing a lot of this data?
Well, as far as getting back to normal, what we've chosen to do is to really focus on hospitalization rates. We don't focus on who tests positive for the virus. We've told the people in the state we can expect 30 to 70% of our population will get the virus. And 80% of you folks will have very mild to no symptoms. So I'm not going to lay awake at night being concerned about how many positive cases we have. What I'm going to focus on is how many people are in the hospital and making sure I have capacity to take care of you. And I've said over and over 100 times that we cannot stop this virus. I think people were under the misconception we could stop it. And that's not our job here. Our job is just to, just to make sure we can take care of people while it works its way through. So that's been our focus, and we have done that now. We have a capacity to take care of folks in South Dakota, and we're just going to keep having those honest conversations. Now, our focus will be in communicating to those that are vulnerable, those that would end up in the ICU and on ventilators, and that's the older population and those that have health conditions. So I am over-communicating to folks, even kids that are watching, you know, these podcasts, these shows, that it's your job to protect grandpa and grandma. And to, you know, just keep reminding them that they need to be more careful. And if you have the sniffles, don't go see them. If you've got a fever, you know, just make sure you're taking care of them because they're the ones who are going to end up getting a little sicker from this virus and will need more care.
Yeah. And so I just want to add some context and some data and just for our listeners. And I know you only have a couple minutes remaining, but according to the data we found in 2018 in South Dakota, there were 245 flu deaths. There have been 13 deaths from the virus. That's the latest. I don't know if there's correct. And again, I'm not minimizing that. Those are 13 human beings. Those are 13 just awful, you know, awful things that have happened. However, context is super important when we talk about the data. Are you guys being crushed by the cartel of the colleges? Do you, or maybe your son, or maybe your grandson, or granddaughter, if you will, are they struggling with student loan debt? Well, Credible.com, I want to make you aware of them. They're an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. They help people get out of student loan debt. If you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. With a lower rate, you could save on interest or lower your monthly payment. And with a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. You can consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders, whereas with some other marketplaces, you get ranges of rates or ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple minutes to check rates. Checking rates does not impact your credit, and they'll never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. So visit Credible.com/Charlie. That's CREDIBLE.com/CHARLIE. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. So please visit Credible.com/Charlie. That's CREDIBLE.com/CHARLIE. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Again, you guys can get out of student loan debt. You should refinance your student loans, save on interest, lower your monthly payment. Credible is the option. Credible.com/Charlie. So I want to kind of close the final question. As you mentioned, bailouts for states. I'm a huge, outspoken critic of bailing out states, especially for my home state of Illinois, that are backwards, broken, basically bankrupt as it is. They're losing, you know, a citizen, a taxpayer every 9 minutes. And so as they're structuring these potential bailouts, you know, me being a critic against them, how would you, you know, advocate for a potential federal assistance program since your sales tax revenues, I guess, are down probably 20%, 30%, 40%?
Yeah, they're down significantly. I'll get the first projections here next week. But what I have told, I told Mitch McConnell over the weekend, and I told Secretary Mnuchin just a few minutes ago on the phone too, is I said, I'm not in favor of you sending us more money. Don't send the states more money. All I'm saying is that what you've already done is a lot, and you're, the way you've structured it is more help for those states that have been poorly run in the past. So make it fair, make it accountable. You can tie it directly to revenue loss that happened from this virus and make us account for that. Don't let these dollars get spent bailing out pension funds and making up for poor management in past years. I said, if you're going to build flexibility in, let us help you. Some of us who know how to do that, that are running these state budgets, that understand how they work, to make sure that it's accountable to taxpayers. Because I don't want to see us using this as setting a precedent to bail out blue states that have been poorly managed, and then the taxpayers are on the hook again. So I'm just very clear. They keep talking about phase four, and I don't believe we need more spending.
So it's so refreshing to hear.
I think they just need to figure out a way that they're not punishing the best managed states and rewarding those states that haven't been run very well by giving them much more money per population.
So just, I know we have just about a minute and a half remaining because you have a whole state to run and you have a media to handle and all that. Final question. You have two kids I've gotten to know. They're incredible. They're amazing. And they, of course, have to deal with liberal and leftist backlash in a variety of different ways. We have so many young people listening to this podcast that on a much more micro level are dealing with similar but not as big kind of criticism that you had to go under. Mm-hmm. You have now stared that down the mob and can say that you were, you know, victorious in being able to change the narrative. What is your advice to young conservatives out there that look to you for inspiration and also as a role model?
Yeah, I would say my kids have really taken it. You know, they've directly targeted my children. The first thing I would tell anyone that's in that kind of an environment where they're being criticized for their beliefs and their values is to be teachable, to listen, be willing to hear that conversation, and then go back to your core values and your beliefs and make a decision on that and offer people grace. I'm constantly telling my kids, you, that person who's angry and screaming at you right now, you have no idea what's happened to them in life that made them that way, that made them that angry. Now they're wrong. So always speak truth. Speak truth when they're wrong. But do it in a manner that you don't really know their background, what hurts they have. And then be bold. You know, there was a story about that changed my life when a few years ago that just talked about striking when opportunity comes. You don't have to come into a room and announce your presence and think you're the big show and be the one that everybody's paying attention to. But when you see an opportunity, you strike. You go speak that truth. And when you do speak, it'll matter. So if you're using a bunch of words and constantly talking and arguing, your words don't have much value. But when you speak that truth, when the opportunity strikes and is open, I think a lot of people will sit up and pay attention. And they'll also appreciate it if you give them a little bit of understanding.
This is so well said. You have a state to run, and you are doing a phenomenal job. I wish we had 500 leaders like you in the conservative movement. We have learned in the midst of this crisis, there are few that have courage and conviction and care about what is best for our country, freedom and liberty. So God bless you, Governor. Thank you for joining the show. And for all of our listeners, just please support this governor and this leader any way you can, because she is in the minority of the minority of people that actually stand with backbone and conviction. So we got your back, and God bless you, Governor. Thank you so much.
It's Charlie. Good to see you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. You can email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. We got more big episodes. We got Nikki Haley next week, so make sure you are subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Make sure you are subscribed and leave us those 5-star reviews. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you can go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a chapter, maybe chip in some money if you can. tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Again, shoot me an email, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. God bless.
Hey, I'm Autumn Calabrese, and I have a question for you. How do you do life? I might be a superstar trainer, but I'm also a boy mom, sister, daughter, friend, and entrepreneur. You might think my life is all working out and cooking healthy, delicious recipes, but trust me, there is so much more to it, and this is it. This is all of those real moments you talk about with your family and friends. Ever wonder what else life has to offer? Bring your curious appetite and let's do life together. Subscribe now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and PodcastOne.com.